Welcome to the Praying Wife Podcast. I am your host, Corinne Cash, and on today's episode, I am honored to invite you all to join me for a Praying Wife refresher group session where we gather together, as most of you know, every Monday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. We gather together just for prayer, for Bible study, for devotion, and it's an awesome time. And I'm just happy to share this session with all of you. I pray that you're blessed.
As always, as I'm in prayer about what God is saying for us during this time and what he wants us to talk about, there was a word that just kept ringing in my mind. And I was like, you sure? And he was like, yep. And that word is forgiveness. God wanted us to talk about and deal with forgiveness. The scripture we're going to be talking about, or the main reference, is Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. And it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I'm going to read that one more time a little slower so everybody can hear me in the back. If you forgive those who sin against you, so if you forgive the people that do you wrong, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse, stubborn, hard-headed, you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a big one and a deep one. Because we know that we serve an awesome God and we serve a loving God, and he is faithful and he is just and he is righteous. But we are given clear instructions that the forgiveness of our sins is dependent on our heart for other people and our ability to let go of the wrongs and to forgive those who do us wrong. And there's a devotional that was in my Bible that talks about the first move. And it was more so about reconciliation and something that happened in chapter 5, but it's still applicable even for the scripture that we read today. So I wanted to read it to you guys, and it's called The First Move. Conflict is inevitable. In marriage, especially, you will fight. Not maybe, you will fight, okay? I'm sure all the married people can attest. You have fought with your husband before. But how will you settle those conflicts? As creatures of habit, we often follow set patterns, roles, or reactions in conflict. Do you stand off, refuse to give in, and wait for your spouse to make the first move? Do you stubbornly need to be right? If that is your default reaction, then consider Jesus's counsel in Matthew 5. According to Jesus, the responsibility to seek reconciliation is yours. And I'm just going to quickly read the scripture that they're referring to, which was in Matthew 5, verse 23, which says that if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, so you go into church to give God your best, your worship, your tithes and offering, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. Someone has something against you. Not even you have something against someone. You remember someone feels a type of way about something you did or said. Leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come back and offer your sacrifice to God. So that is the scripture that they're referring to when Jesus, he's saying the responsibility for reconciliation is yours. You may not be able to affect reconciliation, but you must seek it. Sometimes the fixing of blame keeps us from taking the first step. We reason, well, he failed me. Why should I be the one to reach out? Let him come and ask me for forgiveness. That line of reasoning is perfectly natural, but it is not biblical. Jesus inverts our natural reasoning, commanding that even if the other person holds something against you, you should initiate reconciliation. Consider also the detailed prescription for conflict resolution found in Matthew 18, 15 through 20. Just as those principles apply to the church at large, so they also apply to a Christian couple or a Christian that's in a relationship in conflict. And I'm just feeling the need to jump there. So let's just jump real quick to Matthew chapter 18, and let's read those few verses from 15 through 20. And it says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For those where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. So you guys know we say that scripture often. But going back, it says, consider that detailed prescription for conflict resolution. Just as those principles apply to the church at large, so they apply to a Christian couple or any of us in a relationship that is in conflict. Jesus teaches us that whether you have sinned against your spouse or your spouse has sinned against you, both are likely true, the responsibility for seeking reconciliation lies with you. Regarding your own sin, you must admit wrong and ask for forgiveness. Regarding your spouse's sin, you must show willingness to forgive. So talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, whether or not, as it says, you are the one in the right or you are the one in the wrong, forgiveness is our choice and our mandate from God to do. And so is the attempt of reconciliation. But let's go into that. Why? Why should we forgive? You know, I'm happy that it even stated in there that it's not natural. It's not natural to, you know, put your guard down and say, I forgive you, knowing that you're wrong. You know, not saying, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. No, I forgive you. It's not natural, but it's the biblical approach. And what are some reasons why we forgive? And I just had 3 points. And I said, number one, we forgive so that we can be healed. We can be healed from the resentment that we have in our heart. We can be healed from emotions. You know, we always talk about when you have a conflict with someone, you know, your whole body is involved. When you see this person, your mind starts going, you feel, you guys, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you just feel weird. Like you're either annoyed, you're upset. There's all kinds of emotions going on every time you see this person. And it's almost like you're held captive by this. You can't even control it. It just happens. And so forgiveness is there so that we can release those feelings, release those emotions, take back control over our body and to heal our hearts. Number two is to be forgiven. As we read earlier, it says, if we don't take that step, if we don't make that choice to forgive others when they do us wrong, our Heavenly Father will not. It didn't even say may not. It said will not. And if we take just a moment to think about the gravity of that situation, if we are not forgiven of our sins, that's a big deal. And so the power of our forgiveness from our Heavenly Father lies in the hands of that person that you cannot stand, that you cannot let go. And God is saying, you have to. He is calling us to release that, release whatever resentment, anxiety, anger that you have towards this person, whether even it is your spouse. It could be your spouse. It could be your family members. It can be an estranged friend. It could be a coworker, whoever it is. We forgive, secondly, so that we can be forgiven. And number three, when we forgive, it increases our faith and it increases our reliance on God. So we grow spiritually, because it takes a spiritual mindset. It takes a strong spirit to be able to let go of hurts, to be able to let go of whatever that person said or whatever that person did and truly forgive them and say, I still love you with the love of the Lord. To still be able to stand in the same room with that person and not have any kind of weird feelings. It takes faith to know that I don't need to have vengeance on this person. Vengeance belongs to God. It grows your spirit mind. Your entire mindset starts to shift and be on a different plane when you can get yourself to the point where I can forgive this person truly. And so we forgive so that we can be healed emotionally, physically, even, because sometimes with unforgiveness, you get stressed. With stress, there's all kinds of physical things that happen to our bodies. And so when you forgive, you release all of that negative toxins and everything that's building up in your body physically and also emotionally. We forgive so that we can be forgiven from our Heavenly Father, because He won't forgive unless we do the same. And we increase our faith. We grow spiritually. You know, sometimes we ask, I want more of God. I want to understand more. I want to go to a different level, but we still harbor unforgiveness in our hearts. And that's one of the basic principles, I would say, of Christianity, is being able to forgive, to look different than the world looks. That's why I said it's not natural to do it. Your natural instinct is, you slap me, I slap you. You do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to get back at you. I'm not speaking to you. I'm not, you know, and it's 20 years, 30 years, and you're still not speaking to this person. It's natural. Our flesh says this is what we should do. However, when we are born again, and we're all born again here, we take on a new mindset. We take on a new set of principles. We operate differently. And the operation starts with being able to do those things that's difficult, that goes against what our flesh would say that we should do. And that would be with forgiveness. And so let's take, before we talk about how to go through this forgiveness process, let's look at a few things at what Jesus says or what God says about forgiveness. And there are four scriptures, and I am so sorry that I did not bookmark them. So I'll be flipping through like these. All right. So Matthew 18, since we're already in Matthew, let's start there. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. And it says, then Peter came to him and asked, well, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? I'm going to paraphrase a little bit because I can imagine Peter, right? Peter is a little wild one. So he's like, hold on, Lord. This person then did the same thing to me again. I know you don't expect me to forgive them. How often? I'm sure he was being sarcastic. He was like, how often you want me to forgive? Like seven times? Is that what you're saying? And I love that Jesus said, no, Peter, with your all of your sarcasm, not seven times, 70 times seven, 70 times seven. And I'm sure he didn't mean, okay, let's start keeping a log and say, when you get to 70 times seven, what's that? Is that 490, Lord? Wait a minute. Anyway, I'm out of school. So y'all know a 70 times seven, 70. Yep. Seven, I will say it's 490. That's a lot of times. And I'm sure he didn't mean 490, so start keeping a log. And then when they hit 491, we stop forgiving. He was saying it to illustrate, you keep on forgiving. It's not a thing that I did that once. I forgave you last week. I forgave you 5 years ago. I've forgiven you 10 times for the same thing. We continue to forgive. We live a life of forgiveness. That is the character that he wants us to embody. Okay, and then we jump to Luke chapter 6. And verse 37, it is something about holding an actual Bible and not your phone, ladies. I have to tell you. Okay. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. And it says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. There's that. If you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father won't forgive. It's sprinkled all throughout. Just in case you miss that scripture, just in case we try to, you know, bypass that first one, it's here again. Forgive, and then you will be forgiven. All right, now let's jump to Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead of that, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And it's interesting that after they said all of this bitterness rage, then they go into forgiveness. Because when you don't forgive, these are the types of feelings and emotions that you will experience. Bitterness. When you're not forgiving someone, you feel rage towards them or anger. You want to say some harsh, ungodly words to them. Slander. You talk about them during your circle time with your friends. And you're like, you can't believe what this person did or what she said or what my husband did. Slander, all of that. It says, get rid of that. Instead, be kind, forgive one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. And finally, Colossians 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So you should forgive others? No. So you may, perhaps it's a good idea to forgive? No. So you must forgive others. This one I said, oh, I like this, because the first time or second time or maybe third time, if I'm honest, that I read it, I really read it in a different way. For the make allowance for each other's faults. Sometimes I think we forget to do that. Or by default, we don't do that. That's really a look at it from the other person's perspective, but not even just that. A understand that we are all human. We are all flawed humans. And just as we ourselves mess up and we find ourselves sometimes having to say, I'm sorry, we are flawed. Make allowance, which means give space, give some breathing room for people to mess up in your life. Give them space to mess up, to grow, to hurt you. Like, make allowance for their faults, understanding that this is someone who is just like me. May not be like me in character or style or face, but they are like me, that we are both human beings. They can mess up the same way that I can. And so I can make allowance and I can say, you know what? I understand. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, but I understand and I forgive. Understanding that I am no better, no higher than anyone else. So make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And so how do we do this thing called forgiveness? And just in studying, I just did seven quick points. And the first thing is to remember that it's a process. True and full forgiveness is a process. I would say I now personally, for me, because I don't hold on to anything. I just can't. I don't have the capacity. It's too much other things going on. I can't remember what happened yesterday, which is a blessing and a curse. My husband loves it, but it's like good and it's bad. Because I don't remember the things, I just let it go. And so if we had an argument yesterday, I wake up today, it's a whole new day, I'm already over it. But not everyone is like that. And it took me a while to get there as well. But it is a process for a lot of us. It's that continuing to build our faith, continuing to say, okay, God, I need you to help me with this. Holy Spirit, I need you to invade my space and allow me to let it go. It's every day saying, I let this go. I've forgiven this person. I am healed. I am made whole. It's an entire process. Number two, acknowledge the fact that you have been hurt or betrayed or offended. Don't ignore it. Acknowledge it. So it's not something that you're hiding away somewhere that's building up and just ready to release in the rage that you're going to have. No, acknowledge the fact that you have been hurt and been betrayed. But in that same retrospect, try to see it from a different perspective. And I think this goes hand in hand with the Colossians 3, with making allowance for each other's faults and understanding that this same person is a flawed human just like you. You are not perfect. Could it be that they also are not perfect at all? Whether you think they were fully in their full right mind and knew exactly what they were doing, irrelevant. We sometimes know exactly what we're doing when we mess up as well. So it's making allowance and seeing it from their perspective. The fourth one then is to release the resentment that you feel. And all of these, you will notice it's a choice, because forgiveness is, it's a choice. It's what you have to decide to do. And so releasing that resentment, it's like, you know, as I think about this, how I feel, I'm hurt, I'm betrayed, whatever it is, I'm offended. I release that, you know, I refuse to feel that way anymore. And you let that go and you release that to the Lord. Another, number five I have is communicate if appropriate. If it's something, and I think we talked, one of the scriptures touched on this, is if someone offends you, going to them privately and speaking to them about it and explaining how it made you feel. Seeking reconciliation. Sometimes that's not possible. Let's just be honest. However the situation may have been, I've heard of stories where it's deeper, where it's something even as deep as rape or something where it's like there is no going and having a communication or conversation. But where it is possible, where it is that friend that you see or that coworker that you see, where it is your spouse that you sleep next to, okay, or he may be sleeping on the couch, I don't know what's going on. There is the opportunity and the chance there for reconciliation, where you can have a conversation with them to attempt reconciliation. Remember, reconciliation is for us to make that first move, not a I will wait for them to call me and say sorry. Not at all. Because the scripture we read first, when it said, if you are deep in the worship of our living Savior on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning, whenever you worship, and the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, as he would, that person that you're waiting on to call you to apologize, he said, you better just leave your stuff there, church, and just go make sure deal with that. Deal with it, because there's an open door. Because unforgiveness will create an open door in your life for the enemy to come in, and a playground for him to settle in. And we will not give the enemy any place in our lives. And so we have to also look at this from a deeply spiritual perspective, because unforgiveness, I would say, is the devil's playground. And so to make sure we keep our hearts pure, we want to make sure that we are forgiven. And then number six is to set healthy boundaries. Okay, now this is important, because a lot of times we think forgiveness means allowing them into the same space and the same things that, you know, they have access to. And it's not necessarily that. It's setting healthy boundaries. And that's a balance of making sure that there's no ill in your heart towards this person. You still love this person. You can still pray for this person. But that doesn't mean that you have to now be their exact friend, talking to them on the phone 100% of the time, you know, chimichurri, going to the movies. You know, you don't have to make that decision to do. If you see that it is a detrimental thing to your health, to your, you know, your situation, your environment. But be careful. I want to make sure I express this. Be careful with that. Healthy boundaries, yes. But if it gets to the point where you're doing it because of resentment, you're still not forgiving. So I want to make sure that we understand that perfectly clear. Yes, you want to set healthy boundaries where, you know what, I understand this type of character. You continue to do the same things to me over and over again. I understand that it's your character. I forgive you for the things that you've done to me. Still love you, still would pray for you. But I don't necessarily have to have you over every week. But that means if you ask to come over, of course you can, because I don't have any ill in my heart towards you. It's just now how I operate when I'm around you, or just making sure that you're not an integral part of my direct environment. If you understand, I hope you ladies are getting it, because sometimes we can mask setting healthy boundaries with where it's really, you're still resenting and you still feel a type of way and you're still not fully forgiving them, but you're saying, well, I'm just, you know, making sure I clear my space. So make sure God shows you, and that's a prayer you can say, God, show me where that is a good delineation of, do I really feel the type of way about this person? Like, I know I want to set healthy boundaries, so that means I don't need them to do this, but I don't want to harbor any ill feelings. And so make sure that we're separating the two of those. And then finally, seeking support. Sometimes we can't do it on our own fully. Sometimes you need a prayer partner with you, or a sister that you can talk to, or somebody that you can confide in to help you go through the process of truly forgiving this person. Because ladies, like I said, it's not even about the other person. Our Heavenly Father will not forgive us once we are holding on. So the longer we are I'm working on it. I'm going through the process of trying. Just know as you're going through that process of trying, God is sitting there waiting. All right, when you're ready to forgive, I'm ready to forgive. And it's as black and white as that. If we don't, he won't. And so there's so many benefits. That's like the number one, because at the end of the day, our lives are lived, poured out to God. And we are a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice means you sacrifice your feelings. You sacrifice your emotions. You sacrifice your need to be right. You sacrifice you wanting, you know, to feel justified. You sacrifice wanting to get revenge. All of this, when we live a life of sacrifice, that's what it's a part of. That's what it contains. So we live this life and we say, God, you handle it. Again, when we get to this place of spiritual maturity to truly forgive, move on, and just where we continue to do that every single day, our spiritual life starts to grow. We're building up our faith. We're relying on God for all things, not just to pay the bills, not just to make sure food's on the table, not just for health, not just for strength, not just for protection, but to be able to let go and live a life and love others even when they don't deserve it. That is where God is calling us to be today. And so, ladies, I pray that this message hit your heart. And if you are dealing with that, that you would make the choice and the decision today to let this go, to truly forgive, to seek reconciliation, so that you can be pure before God, so that you can experience the goodness of God, so that you can shut that open door that the enemy has in your life. Amen. And with that, I'm going to open the floor.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Timely word. I don't know if you remember Thursday night pouring. I jumped off early because I told you I had a situation dealing with. Well, I kind of had a disagreement with my husband. And I feel it's probably the worst we ever had in our marriage. And, you know, I was so upset that I couldn't even wait for the prayer to finish, that I just had to deal with the matter. So, you know, hastiness and whatnot. And, you know, exchange of words, not obscenities, but, you know, saying hurtful stuff. And currently, the topic we're doing in church for the month of January was forgiveness. And funny enough, I who requested that topic. And, you know, after when you're done, said all said and done, I started to feel like unworthy. Like, where did that come out from? You know? And sometimes you're thinking, well, you know, you're finally living in your own house away from in-laws. And, you know, you're thinking everything would be a happy ending. And, you know, it's when the real issues started to came about in the marriage, even with a teenage daughter. And I keep saying, you know, sit and busy. This is supposed to be my happy time. And this is supposed to be the time that I pushing forward spiritually. And, you know, you start to feel unworthy. And I said it to myself this morning, even though, you know, we apologize and make amends. I said it to myself. I said, like Satan trying to just push you back. He's just trying to keep you back because, you know, it's the time to press and move forward. And you see that, you know, you're forgiven and you keep going. And he's trying to bring up stuff. Because I remember telling my husband, I said, you don't have a perfect man or woman yet tonight. And also the part where he was talking about getting a good friend who you could confide in. You know, my sister had to talk to me too. I don't really open up to my sisters about marriage and stuff, but we ended up talking because she recently married, less than 2 years. And, you know, she was saying, you know, the tone in your voice. She said, you need, probably you all need like alone time. But she said, you know, to give up on your marriage, 2 children involved, but something that we probably need help with. You probably need help also. She said, no, it's not worth it. You have to think about your children and whatnot. And she said, the tone in your voice is sounding real upset. And I said, yeah. And she said, you all need to talk and work it out. Also, I have 2 friends, one currently going through a divorce. But you know, like when I open up to them and I was telling my sister, said, you know, they would never say, well, you need to leave him. You need to do that. They would always say, girl, that is something that it looks. And you really had to be careful who you open up to. You have to, up to this morning, I'm reading a quote. Get some woman, get woman friend who pray behind your back and pray for you, not who would discourage you. So it's true that you really have to get people who would, you know, pray with you, encouraging the right thing to forgive and whatnot. And I said, this is a timely word, because honestly, I started to feel like, you know what, you're not supposed to even be on this refresher group. Why did you let the devil use you like that, use you like that? And I said, it's the beginning of the year still. Why it have to be like that? And, you know, it just shows that how Satan is always busy. He uses ways and means, you know, to come and distract you. So this was a timely word for me. Really, really on point. Everything.
Amen. Amen. And listen, let me make sure quickly address that not worthy. The same way the Bible says to make allowance for each other's faults, make allowance for yours. We talk about, you know, making sure that we understand that the other person isn't perfect, but we are not either. And so we are going to mess up. Let he that is within without sin cast the first stone. Nobody to this day would be picking up a stone to throw at that woman. And so we have to make sure that we understand. And a part of forgiveness is forgiving yourself and knowing that God still loves you. We will never be unworthy when it comes to God. He loves us. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners, while we were in our mess, not when we cleaned ourselves up. So God loves us beyond anything. So I'm so happy that you pushed through and still came on, because that is the time when you need to be surrounded by your sisters, when you need to be on, when you feel like you've messed up, because that's when the enemy likes to pounce and be like, aha, you curse that lady out. You're unworthy. God's going to throw you away. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. It is in those moments where God is stretching and reaching out his hand to us at most and saying, come, my child. It's like our kids when they're learning to walk and they're wobbly and then they fall down. We don't reprimand them when they fall down. We extend our hands. We go, we pick them up. We set them right back up and allow them to walk. And so high five, Anika, for making it on, and know that we love you. And God loves you more than any of us, than all of us put together. And we will make mistakes, but we get back up and we keep on going. Go ahead, Sadia.
Good word. Amen. So my takeaway was it made me like just want to examine my heart. And I think forgiveness is important because with God, everything is about your heart posture. And he wants our hearts to always be right before him. That's the most important thing. Forgiveness also, like you said earlier, it starts your healing process of whatever you might have been hurt or whatever, or it might just be where you just have to release a situation that was petty or something like that. It frees you. And it also, most importantly, keeps your heart right before God, because he wants all of us. He wants our whole heart. He doesn't want Johnny in the middle in between y'all two. He don't want that lady who you don't even know in between y'all two, because you got offense. And offense is a number one thing too that causes unforgiveness. And I get mad. I live in the moment, but I say, because nobody is worth you, your relationship with God blocking your blessings, blocking your relationship with God. You know, I understand some people experience traumas and abuses that, you know, that's kind of the that's the thing that you have to go through, that healing process, because it's hard to forgive somebody who might have raped you or abused you or something like that. But it is part, it's the process, like you said earlier. But the little petty things that we be holding on to, we got to let that go, because we remember that we always want our heart to be right before God. We always want our heart to be clear, pure before him, because that's what really matters. Because the first thing he looks at is your heart. He doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. And number two, we don't want the enemy to have nothing, to find nothing inside of us. I think it's a scripture, someone can help me. Jesus was saying, I think it was Jesus who was saying something. Either it was Jesus referring to himself, or he was saying the enemy couldn't find nothing inside of him, inside of Jesus, like no unforgiveness. You don't want, like Kareem says, that gives the enemy a foothold, because trust me, he is kick you when you down. So if you give him a little inch, That's enough, honey. And he coming full force, and he will bring other depression and other things along with that unforgiveness to make sure you stay down for a minute. You know, so unforgiveness is most important because it gives us, keeps our hearts clear, and it's good to even check yourself once in a while to say, why did I get so upset because she looked at me and I, you know, or why did that bother me that much to where I almost cussed a lady out? Is something got to be there? But Lord, whatever it is, remove it. So today, I believe God is saying, just check your heart. Make sure there's nothing there that may be blocking your answer to your prayers. Make sure you deal with that before you come to me talking some, you know, with your praise and your worship. You know, baby, you got to go back there, get it right, and then offer your gift, like you were saying the scripture says. So it's very important to forgive. And then most importantly, you want to be forgiven too when you mess up, when you fall short. God can't forgive you if you haven't forgiven somebody else. That's just how he works. But the most important thing is we always want to have our heart right before God. So that's what I got from that, to have a right heart, an upright heart, always before the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. 100%. 100%. So I'm just going to pray for all of us as we deal. Because if you're not dealing with it right now, examining yourself. If you say, okay, well, I'm all good. Even myself, I'm still going to be asking, Lord, please show me those areas that I have hidden. Who may be there? Shine a spotlight, examine my heart, see if there be any unforgiveness in me, and bring it to my memory so that I can take care of it, so that we close all of these open doors. And so that's going to be our prayer. So let's just go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for this moment. Thank you, God, where you met with us, God, where your Holy Spirit even now is still doing a work within each of us, God. We thank you for your gift of love, God. We thank you that you showed the ultimate example of forgiveness, God, that while we were wilding out and doing all kinds of craziness, God, we were still sinners. You saw fit and you saw love and you sent your son, God, to die for us so that we can be made right, God. We thank you for that example, God. And we ask right now that your spirit will just permeate our hearts. Cleanse us, oh God, from the inside out. Bring out any resentment, anger, bitterness, God. Any unforgiveness that we're still dealing with, God. We ask that you would cleanse us from it, God. That you would help us to release every hurt, God. To release the pain, to release the anxiety, to release the bitterness now in the name of Jesus. God, that we can be pure before you, that our hearts can be clean. God, that you can search us and see no wickedness in us, oh God. That the enemy, God, has no place in our homes or our hearts, God. That he has no door to get through, God, because of unforgiveness, God. We ask for a cleansing this morning, a cleansing from the inside out, oh God. God, we thank you that we know that all things are possible through you, God. And even if we think we are weak, God, it is through your strength. And so we don't rely on our human strength, but yours, God. And we know through you, God, we can do this. We can make that choice, God. We can put it in your hands. We can leave it in your hands, God, because we know that you are capable, because we know that you love us, because you want what's best for us, oh God, and that there is more work for us to do, God. We understand the distractions that the spirit of offense will present, oh God. We turn our eyes to you. No longer, oh God, will we be held back by our own choice to not forgive and to let go, God. We move forward this day. We move forward in power and love, God. We let those things go. We leave it at the altar in the name of Jesus. And God, we lift up every marriage represented here today, God. We pray that you will be the rock, God, that sustains us, that you are our foundation. We come against any plans of the enemy to separate us, oh God, to pull us apart. We thank you that communication will be perfect. We thank you that forgiveness will flow through our marriages every single day, oh God, that we will be able to let go the tiny little petty offenses, even the big things, that we will work through the process of letting it go and forgiving, God, understanding that it's not just about us individually as a couple, but God, that you have a divine purpose for us being together, God, that you set us apart from the others, that you have placed your word in our hearts, that you have given us a mandate of children and rearing them, oh God, and for them to see what a godly home looks like. So God, we just ask right now that you will touch our hearts. We pray for restoration in our homes, God, in our marriages, with our co-workers, with our family, with our friends. We ask for these things now. We come before you, God, and we lay our hearts and our anxieties and our worries and our regrets and our failures, God, and our wrong choices and our bad decisions. We lay them all before you, God, and we ask for forgiveness. We ask that you would forgive us, oh God, even as we know as we forgive, God. You said you will forgive us as we forgive. So as we take that step to forgive, God, I thank you that reconciliation is present. I thank you that you bind us together with cords that cannot be broken, God, and that this day will be a new day, a new chapter in our lives. As we walk in freedom, we receive your freedom. We receive your joy. We receive your peace in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Give us the strength and the courage to seek reconciliation, God, to address privately those things, God, that have stirred up in our heart and created resentment. God, we pray that you will create an open space and set the atmosphere even before, God, we get ourselves into that conversation. God, I thank you for the right words for Stacy to say as she addresses her husband, God, and for anyone that you bring to our memories that we may need to speak to, God. We pray that your spirit will be there. Go before us. Holy Spirit, tell us the words, adjust our tone and our attitudes, oh God. We pray that we will remain pure before you always, God. We want to have a heart that is worthy, oh God, a heart that is pure, a heart that is clean. That is our desire, God. And so we worship you this day. We thank you, God. We pray that your spirit will go before us. May we have an excellent day and an excellent week, God. May we remember that you are always with us. And so the things that we choose to do, the places we decide to go, God, we pray that we will always do those and say those things with your presence in mind, God. And we pray that we will be a light for others today, God. Help us to speak your word. Help us to bring others in the kingdom, oh God, by our actions, by our lives, God. And we just give you all the thanks and praise. We come against any plan of the enemy, any spirit of retaliation, any spirit of attack. We bind up the powers of the enemy now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, that we have the victory through you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Praying Wife Podcast. I do pray that you were blessed. Please remember that you are beautiful, you are powerful, you are made in the image of God, and you are loved. We will see you again next time.